Tonight, we help give Trish from the Tilted Kilt Skokie the pretty late voting bump. Then Amy Guth discusses social media's dark side before Steve Dale answers pet questions. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
And I'm broadcasting from our Allstate Showcase Studios West. I am in L.A. this week. And Craig, you were telling me that we already have the young women from Tilted Kilt in the studio.
They're here, yeah.
I think that we should warn them that the last time we tried to help with a voting scenario, it was the Muppets bracket. Do you recall?
I do recall that, yes.
And the pretty late bump
Kermit,
may not...
Kermit was really, really not doing well, though.
He went down in flames,
right.
My friend.
Trish is actually doing really well.
If we can't help Kermit, how are we going to help the women from Tilted Kilt? I don't know.
Well, that's the thing,
though. I mean, Kermit is beloved. Huh?
Well, like I said, when we actually tried to help Kermit, he was way behind. Who was he facing in the first round of the Muppet bracket?
Wasn't it Grover?
Yes, I think it was Grover. He was way behind, and some things are just we can't pull off miracles. But the pretty late bump has helped others like Amy Guth get her Kickstarter passed.
That's true. Okay, yeah. Fair enough. All right, there's a balance in the universe.
And I feel can take credit for Trish winning, but she might already be sort of getting in the calendar on her own. But we are going to give her an extra bump anyway.
Yeah, we would appreciate at least a nod.
It's all pretty late. It's all pretty late's fault, actually. Pretty much.
During the photo shoot, you're right. Exactly. I think during the photo shoot, if there's a wink, well, that's for us.
Oh yeah, no, right? For sure. She can somehow incorporate pretty late into her photo. Somehow she'll advertise. Oh. Yeah, it'll be great. She'll be like a NASCAR driver.
Do we have a symbol? Do we have like a
we should
sign
get
language
one.
Symbol for PL?
Yeah. Mm. Oh good.
Do
just
feel like
yeah, with your fingers, just do a PL.
PL.
If you that could be like our gang
sign. Symbol then.
Yep. That's what I was thinking too, Patty. We've got a PL gang sign.
We don't want to get anybody in trouble.
Okay. Well, what if you did like the index finger and maybe a P and an L at the same time? I don't know. Okay. We'll workshop this.
People will always think I'm giving them a different gesture if I use my hands. It's true.
Yeah, you're right.
Doesn't matter.
You were going to say
we're
just
of the peace, and they're like, I could be doing the sign of the cross, and they're like, she is just vulgar.
That is disgusting.
Disgusting. She's touching her chest.
I think, Patty, you were going to say that we're still sad about the Blackhawks loss.
I know. I feel like we're both like artificially trying to cheer ourselves up.
Yeah,
still.
It was really sad.
It sunk in today. Like, that's it, right? Like, last night we lost, but today we're done.
I don't know if you have anybody that's a fan of another hockey team, but my uncle was already sending me photos of the Tampa Bay Lightning and saying I should cheer for them now.
No.
Which is
that's not how it works.
I need more time.
No, you go to what do you do? You do what you did today. You go to a Cubs game.
Right.
Cuz that right? We're
a
not
freezing cold
it's
Cubs
a lateral
game.
Move.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, it's okay. I felt very hockey-esque. I was at a Cubs game, but it was really cold.
Was there anybody wearing a Blackhawks jersey?
So many. So many
really?
People. Yeah, and actually there's a sports little store across the street, and I think people were buying them because of how cold it was and then wearing them in. And they were picking
brilliant.
Hawks still, not Cubs, to go to a Cubs game, so
well,
that's a good sign.
Well, here's what might cheer you guys up from your hockey hangover. I don't know if you heard me mention it in my little sports blurb, but through 20 games, the Cubs are now 15-5. That's their best 20-game start since 1907.
Mm-hmm. Which was what? Which is a year did they win that year? They won in 1908.
They won 2 years
in a
row.
They also, yes, they did.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rob Martin.
So there you go.
It does make me feel good.
Just helping you out.
Yeah, no, that does help tremendously. And how was the game tonight, Craig, even though it was cold against the Brewers?
So they were down a run for a little bit, and then they came like the very next half inning and scored two or three. So they're just the Cubs. They're just on a roll right now.
They're in a roll.
Yeah.
Although they were just all over the place with the Reds. I know that we got shellacked one game, but we seem to just be tearing them up.
It is baseball. There's a lot of games. They're not going to win them all.
I'm not saying we're going to win them all.
I know. No, but some people are. Some people seem to think they were going to go 162-0.
Aww.
Right.
I want to hug those people. They're adorable.
They're adorable.
That's sweet. Yeah. It's not going to happen.
No, probably not.
Well, especially since we've already, as Rob Martier pointed out, we've already lost five.
Right. That's true.
And
yeah,
I'm not disappointed by that.
Probably undefeated from now on.
Maybe they're letting other teams win so their confidence doesn't plummet. They don't want to make it.
Yeah. That makes sense. And if you went into the postseason completely undefeated, everyone would try really hard. But maybe they're being a little bit more secretive about how good they are.
Exactly. And anyone who thinks that we're being serious and actually think this, you're adorable.
Right. We have no idea what radio station the Cubs play on, too.
Do you think they're ringers?
Yes, they're all ringers.
Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. Like you pretend like I don't know how to play, and then at the end,
right? They're like, I have a secret. I'm not really right-handed.
Yeah.
They're all really left-handed.
Oh my God, that'd be awesome.
They've waited 100 years
to switch hands
to reveal their secret.
Patty, we can take a break already.
All right, let's see what the primaries look like. Is it really the presidential election year? All right, fine. Let's talk about that when we come back. I'm pretty late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I am broadcasting from Los Angeles. And I'm so glad, Craig, that we were not accused of stealing anything from those bags in the green room. Did you hear that promo that... part from Cochran's show?
No, because I saw the bags in the green room. But
did you look in the bags?
Promo. I did not. What was in them?
I did zip, exactly as Cochran said in the promo, which is that it looks like it's Christmas in there. There's all these bags and all the tissue is like just perfectly done. And it's for the draft, right, that's in town?
Got it.
So it's NFL stuff. So somebody, they completely pilfered every item except for the two. I would have just taken the bags. If you want the items, why leave any evidence?
Yeah, amen to that. Exactly right. What I was going to say. Why leave any sort of trace at all that you've done this?
Did they think that the tissue paper was going to hide the the emptiness of the bags?
Yes. It worked for me because I was like, I was like, oh, look. Oh, nothing. Oh, look. Nothing. There were like 10 bags
in there.
You should
have put rocks in there.
To be honest, though, it is something sitting around at a radio station. I feel like they should know.
No, don't even keep that going.
No, it does. It does happen, though. There's
I know
a
it does, and it shouldn't.
And stuff.
It should not. If it's, you know, it's not yours. Don't touch it.
Right. And what Craig and I are saying is that if you do touch it, why would you leave any evidence?
Right.
And what we're admitting to is we would not leave any evidence.
If you're going to steal it right.
Yeah. So if we stole stuff, we would do it much better than the other people did.
And we would not leave it in our office for anyone to find.
Oh, no. That's very silly.
Or in a cabinet.
Yeah.
No cabinets. Yes. I have lots of popcorn in my... All we have in our cabinet, Craig, I think, is popcorn, Junior Mints, and studio slippers.
I've been meaning to ask you, why do we have so much popcorn? There's a lot of popcorn.
I may have bought too much popcorn.
Are the bags also now filled with popcorn?
Oh,
Junior Mints.
No. That's what I should have done.
They are not.
Go out there and put some popcorn in those.
That's what they brought us, popcorn.
Right. That's weird. The NFL draft is just sending us a lot of popcorn as I'm wearing my NFL draft t-shirt.
It's right.
And some slippers.
It tastes like some studio slippers and Junior Mints, an open box. They're all melted.
You know, that reminds me, Patty, the other day you claimed that you've never seen my toes. Do you remember this conversation?
I don't think about it. If I have, I've blocked it.
She did. She claimed on air, but you once bought me studio slippers, and I think you have seen my toes.
I think that you had socks on when you put your studio slippers
on,
didn't
you? No, you can't wear socks with studio slippers. That doesn't make any sense. You got to go
studio slippers.
Esmeralda, you don't know what studio slippers
are. Like,
are
they just slippers that you have in a studio?
Correct.
Or are they special slippers the studio?
That's how we name stuff on the show. It's just where it is and what it is.
Okay.
Yes. During the first big polar vortex of 2014, when the temperatures were plummeting, and Craig, you were taking public transportation that night, weren't you?
Yeah, it was awful.
You would come in and we're freezing, and we went across the street to Walgreens, and I bought Esmeralda. They're like Crocs, but they're the fuzzy lined ones.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, without the back,
the cuff. Yes.
Okay.
And but why would you take your socks off? Were your socks wet? I don't remember. I'm gonna say that I mentally blocked out.
Is this a deja? I'm feeling deja vu right now. I feel like we've had this conversation before.
It's entirely possible.
Did you give me some
slippers?
Yeah,
I might have.
I feel like you offered me some. I went, no, thank you.
You were completely repulsed by the idea that I would buy you slippers for the studio.
No, it was
They're nice to have.
They might have been used slippers.
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that to you. That's disgusting.
No, but I think you guys had used them, and I just was like, nah, I'm cool.
Maybe we were offering to lend them to you, like, were your feet wet?
I think so.
I don't know why this would...
Would you borrow slippers from anyone, Esmeralda? Is that just a thing you would or wouldn't do?
I'm good.
Okay.
Why? No.
Yes, well, slippers are a little intimate.
Exactly.
They're so comfortable, though.
I know, but they're intimately
yours
and comfortable. See? Me and Patty. Eye to eye right now.
No, I feel like a lot of people actually. 312-981-7200. I doubt anyone really wants to borrow slippers, right?
Unless they're family. Yeah.
I mean, I'd do it. I don't care. Fine. Slippers are lovely. Slippers.
And also, I feel like you turned a little mom at that point when you gave him slippers. Because my mom does that to me. She makes me put slippers on at their house because she thinks I'm going to die of some sort of pneumonia if I don't wear shoes in the house.
I thought it was lovely. I really enjoyed having slippers.
Yeah, it is lovely. It's just a very cozy, happy. It's like comfort wear.
Well, like you said, I was really cold. I had gone public transit through a horrible storm, and you said, "Let's go get you some slippers," and that sounded really warm. Esmeralda's laughing right now a lot. I
just love that idea. Let's go get you some slippers.
Okay.
Slipper shopping.
At Walmart or Walgreens, excuse me.
Walgreens. Yeah. It was a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's some good stuff over at this one.
They're not the nicest slippers. Oh, I got a phone call. Hold on.
Oh, great. Oh. See, look at him. Do you see that? He's knocking your purchase of slippers.
No, it's all right. It was
the best.
He still has them at the studio. Slippers. They're good. They're just nice to have. My mom prefers to wear footwear in the house as well. But Esmeralda, when I go into people's houses, I prefer to take my shoes off because I'm just worried about bringing in all the things from outside into their house. I think slippers are a wonderful thing.
Darlene called in from Elgin. She couldn't stay on the phone, but she wanted to say that she thinks it's wonderful that you bought me slippers because if I walk around barefoot at the studio, I might break a toe.
What?
That is intense.
Oh, my goodness.
That is intense. Right. Well, we have a lot of heavy equipment. I mean, we do have a 50,000-watt station.
That is true.
You never know if there's a loose... You could have been electrocuted if you weren't wearing proper footwear.
Well, if they're pretty... Well, were they... They weren't socks, right?
No. Like break my toe, though, don't I have to be, like, flinging my feet around wildly?
Something could fall.
No,
that's
because
not.
You can break a pinky toe quite easily. I've heard people knock their pinky toes into... tables and things and just break a toe.
Okay, if something fell with enough force to break my toe, wouldn't it do it through a shoe?
No.
No, because it's a hard plastic
or
whatever.
I'm wearing like a regular shoe. This isn't...
No, you could break... You're more likely to break your toe with nothing on. Like, let's say kicking a vacuum cleaner in the dark.
Yep.
Let's say someone has done that.
Yeah.
I've done that. Yes.
Did you break a toe?
I broke my pinky toe.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. It's painful.
How long did
that
take to heal?
We've talked about how my pinky... Huh?
How long does it take to heal a pinky toe?
You have to tape it to the toe next to it.
Oh, that's not even.
Don't you have to do that for all of them?
Mm-hmm.
Just in general, like if you break a middle toe, like there's no point of going to a doctor because they'll just tape you up and send you on your way.
You don't even go to a doctor? You just tape it yourself and that's good enough?
Because they're just going to do the same thing.
I feel like someone with medical expertise needs to be consulted at
least. To tape your toe?
Yeah.
Because they're not going to put it in a little mini.
I'm not going to trust buddy to tape my toe and be like, it'll be fine.
By the way, that's what they call it, buddy toe taping. Buddy taping. I'm not kidding.
Oh, my God.
So
we
it
can
would
break
be appropriate.
On that. That's an amazing thing. We can break on the buddy toe taping.
Buddy toe. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I am broadcasting from Los Angeles from our Allstate Showcase Studios, West. And I wish I was back home. I could meet our lovely guests from the Tilted Kilt in Skokie. Trish, how are you doing tonight?
Go ahead, Trish. You can jump right in on that microphone right there. maybe her headphones aren't working. Here, let me swing in. I will help.
No.
I will go help the Tilted Kilt girls. This is terrible.
Hi.
Oh, no.
It's
Hi, Trish.
Now.
How are you doing? Oh, there you go.
Hi, guys.
And we also have Alana in the studio, too.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. So, Trish, you are up for the Kilt Girl calendar, and the voting is open. How long do people have to vote for you?
Well, there was 3 weeks of voting, but the voting ends this Saturday. So I need all the help I could get to get as many votes by Saturday.
And do you know where you are so far? Do they let you know like how many votes you've gotten?
No, that is why it's so... it's so frustrating. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea. So I find out on Saturday, hopefully, and I just wish for the best.
You have a really cute picture. Where are you from originally?
I am from Poland. I came here when I was about 5. So basically Chicago. I live by Rosemont and Franklin Park.
Okay. And it says here, I'm reading the page here about a lot of the things you like to do around the city. Do you have a favorite restaurant when you come into town? as far as like types of food? I mean, there's obviously a lot of great Polish restaurants in Chicago, but what's your favorite?
Yeah, usually my mom cooks all the Polish food, but I go to Chicago, I come and eat the deep dish pizza, of course. Also, Mexican food is my favorite, but I don't really have a specific restaurant. I just go out a lot of places with my friends.
And try something new?
Anywhere that looks good, you know?
That's right. So you are up for, how do they decide which one of the servers at the Tilted Kilt is going to represent the restaurant for the calendar?
Well, basically, promotion, you go around and talk to a lot of people. It's mostly about getting yourself out there.
That's so, the harder part, isn't it? It it sounds from your bio, it sounds like you like building that sort of that relationship with the customers, like you know who your regulars are, right?
Yeah, yeah. You get to meet a lot of cool people. There's a lot of people that come from all over town. You make connections with them, and it's just really cool meeting so many different people from around the world.
Are there any sweet prizes you get for being in the calendar? Do you get any kind of like cool swag?
Of course. You get to travel. I get to go to Arizona if I win to do a photo shoot. I get also $2,000 in scholarship money, which will be really cool. I get to be like a brand ambassador and calendar signings. People are going to come and see the calendar girl, so that's pretty exciting.
Nice. And Alana, how long have you worked at Tilted Kilt?
For about a month.
Oh, you're new. How's it going so far?
Great. I started just in March, so it was just in time for the calendar. So it was my pleasure to meet all the girls and the runner-up. So I'm so excited, and I hope she gets in so I can see her on Snapchat and see like the experience that she has. So maybe next year I can try out as well.
Well, so that, I mean, Trish, when people, talk to you about working at the Tilted Kilt, what are some of the misconceptions they have? I mean, what kind of comments do you get from people who've never been to the restaurant?
I mean, it is kind of a different environment, but at first I was like kind of, you know, iffy about it. But since I got to know everyone and just started working there, it just became like a really good experience. And it's so much fun. I really enjoy being there. I mean, it's, you go and sit down with your customers, and it's like you're not even working, you know? We got a pool table in there. We got some darts. We used to have a beer pong table. That was really fun. And then also we get...
What happened? What happened to the beer pong table?
I think it stopped working, which is kind of sad, but...
How does a beer pong table stop working? You just need cups and table.
No. It was like an electronic machine.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was really fun. We also get, like, it's surprising. We get a lot of little kids, families that come in. We have free cotton candy for them. Also, we have Mario Kart. And we have a huge flat screen TV, which all the kids come and play.
Can the adults have cotton candy if we want?
Of course.
Cotton? Okay, cool.
Don't be shy.
Aw. Craig, if you wear your studio slippers to the Tilted Kilt, I'll bet you they give you cotton candy.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. That sounds amazing. That won't be weird at all.
It won't be weird. And it's funny, a lot of people know this. I used to work at Hooters. So, I know people say it's strange when, you know, that people bring families, but it's a restaurant. It's all in good fun. I worked at a lot of different restaurants, and people would ask me questions like, well, how can you put it all on display? Don't you feel like you're meat? Here's the thing, and I'll tell Trish and Alana this, and anybody else that asks. That's how people treat women, and here at least there's a little bit of power. You're kind of strutting. You get to sort of control the way you present yourself. Don't you get that sense, Trish?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because when you in other jobs, it's kind of like people feel like they can get away with it because you're not being objectified. There's an element of I'm proud of who I am. Yeah. This is it's about athletic women who. You're attractive, you're having a great time, the customers come in. It's not uncomfortable if you're just open to having fun.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what's wrong with posting a picture with a fitness model, but we come over here and we look good anyways, you know, in person.
So the calendar has servers from all over the country. Have you been going through all the pictures and been like, do you feel competitive or you feel very confident about where you are in the lineup?
Well, there is other girls that, you know, you look at them because you've never seen them before and you're like, oh, wow, you know, she's pretty. But I don't know. I hope I stand a good chance. I mean, I got some pretty good competition out there, but hopefully my pictures could blow them away.
And how many contestants are there altogether in the Kilt Girl Calendar?
There is 45.
There's 45 left. Right.
Yeah, 45 left. And then to make it to the top 12, I got to get these votes in.
Right. And then at the top 12, then you're in the calendar, right?
Yep.
Cool.
Right. We want our local girls to do well. So go to KiltGirlCalendar.com.
Right. And everything shared on.
The link is on our Patty V show. Yeah.
Cool. Yep, for sure. And then I was just curious, because I know we've had burlesque people in Patty, and they talk about kind of how empowering it is to perform burlesque, because it's a little bit different than what it's probably compared to. I would imagine the same is true for, Tilted Kilt Girls working and kind of getting that feeling when you're in the outfit you're in or whatever while you're working. It wouldn't all be objectifying. There's sort of an empowering feeling to it, isn't there?
Yes.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, and for sure. We get a lot of women, too. I mean, sometimes they come in and feel uncomfortable, but then we come in and we make them comfortable, you know? So, right. I don't know. Everyone has fun.
Exactly. And that's the great part about it. We've talked to the one of the CEOs of Tilted Kilt, and he's also done a lot of great work for veterans, for our military. You know, people will look at something and have a certain attitude, but really, you know, this is a fun place to go hang out and watch games, you know, get some great food. Now, your favorite is the chicken wrap?
Yeah, chicken tender wrap with signature sauce. It gives it a little sweet and spicy to it.
I'm thinking you're not eating too much of that. You are very fit. Do you have to work out like a certain number of days in order to feel like, okay, I can have this chicken tender wrap?
You know, at first when we started working there, they said that we could only really eat wraps and salads, but I always go for the burgers. Not always, but, you know, burgers good every now and then. But as for the working out part, I do some crunches every so often, but that's it.
Oh, you got some nice abs. Alana, now you've been there for a month. Am I saying your name correctly, first of all? I don't want to get your name wrong.
Yeah, so you're saying it correctly.
When you started working there, first of all, how long was the training? Was it like a week, 2 weeks?
I would say approximately a week. And then by then, I already had the whole thing down. And it's so fun. Now, I honestly just want to serve now.
I mean, do they have you start out kind of following somebody you're tracking?
Yeah, like all the girls. Like first, like I used to work at different restaurants and it wasn't fun. Like I wasn't motivated to, you know, want to be a waitress or bartender. But now that when I see girls my age doing it, I'm like, oh, I want to follow them. I want to be just like that. They make it fun. So it's like, I want to learn it too.
Cool. Well, and again, this is the Tilted Kilt in Skokie. It's right there at the Village Crossing Strip Mall. Is that right?
Yes.
Correct. Yeah, it's right. There's a lot of great places there that you can go get to see a movie, go to the Tilted Kilt, maybe go to Dick's Sporting Goods, whatever, what have you. There's a Massage Envy over there. There's a lot of great stuff in that little mall. Go check out the KiltGirlCalendar.com. Vote for Trish. She's got just till Saturday. Wait, hold on, I have to vote for you right now. What happens when we click on vote? Vote now. And then do we share the vote?
You would have to create an account. It's really easy. You just type in a username, put in your email address, and then make a password. And then after that, you click on vote, and it should say registered.
And actually, you can log in with Facebook. There's that little link, and then Facebook does everything, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Log in this way? All right, I'm doing it right now. I'm voting. I'm voting
for
Trish. Just
click log in Facebook, and then Trish gets another vote.
Yes, vote for Trish.
Does it mean something that yours is the top left? Like, the very first one that you see is your picture? I would think that maybe that means you're doing really well.
Oh, I don't know. It's really random, but I don't know.
She was the first of mine, too. I feel like maybe it does mean something. That's why I was saying earlier that maybe she's already gotten inside track at the calendar.
Hopefully.
I'm just saying it's the first one. If I clicked on this page, I'd be like, well, this one clearly.
Yeah. I mean, if I just vote for stuff, I always click on easy stuff.
Awesome. Everyone's happy. That's good.
Everyone's happy. Again, go to KiltGirlCalendar.com. Trish, and hopefully I'll get to see you soon back in the studio. Would love to hang out with you both.
Yes, thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you. Of course, hopefully we'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Bye, Trish. Bye, Alana.
Bye.
More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting from our Allstate Showcase Studios West. I am in L.A., and I flew out today from O'Hare. And I actually, Craig, for the first time in I think maybe I've done this once where I've paid for Wi-Fi on my flight. I just wanted to be able to update stuff. I wanted to check in with you and Stephanie and do our show rundown and maybe do some topics. and I logged on to Facebook. And when Kristen Decker posts things, I check them out. First of all, she takes great pictures, and she's having a lot of doing a lot of fun stuff lately. And then she posted a link to a video with Sarah Spain and Julie DeCaro. They're both sports writers. Sarah works for ESPN. I'm not as familiar with Julie DeCaro, but they both are very passionate about their jobs. They're both very talented. And I had no idea. I know that Sarah's been very vocal about gender issues, whether it comes down to domestic violence and how the NFL handles many of the situations that have come up. And she's also had conversations about, you know, social media attacks. We've talked about this with Amy Guth. I've mentioned it on the air before that when I express my opinions for some reason, that seems like an attack on, someone's opinions is their identity, and then they come after me. They wish me, you know, harm. They have called me the C word. And I, you know, you just kind of roll with it. For me, I've experienced that in stand-up comedy. But when I saw this video, Craig, and I texted you this earlier, I started crying because it's really hard. It was really hard to watch. I watched the entire thing, but they have shot this video. Sarah and Julie sit down with men who have been given some of the meanest tweets or texts that have come in addressed to Julie and to Sarah. And here's some audio from that video.
All right, you ready to do some mean tweets?
I'm ready.
Sarah Spain sounds like a nagging wife on TV today.
Not even married yet.
Julie DeCaro is a run-of-the-mill, mediocre beat writer.
Not atrocious, not good.
Just sort of there.
I'm actually not a beat writer at all, but okay.
Sarah Spain is just a scrub muffin.
I don't even know what a scrub muffin is.
I don't either.
I love muffins.
One of the players should beat you to death with their hockey stick.
Like the whore you are.
I'm just reading this.
Okay.
I mean, okay, this is why we don't hire any females unless we need our sucked or our food cooked.
Sarah Spain is a self-important know-it-all. Okay.
Just read the tweets, man. There's some mean tweets.
This dumb.
There's a lot of C word.
There's a lot of C words. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope your dog gets hit by a car, you.
Hopefully, this skank Julie DeCaro is Bill Cosby's next victim. That would be classic.
I don't know what to say to that.
I don't. I think I can even say that.
I know there's a lot of gaps on that, and the reason that there's a lot of silence in the video is because these guys are having a tough time saying the awful things that have been tweeted at Julie DeCaro and at Sarah Spain.
Yeah,
it's hard to watch, and it's weird. I didn't expect to be so upset by it because people have said similar things on social media to me. So I just kind of roll with it. We are going to talk to Amy Guth about that video and some of the work that she's doing to encourage kindness for people to consider the words that they use. And if you wouldn't say it to our face, why would you type it? More after this on 720 WGN. Yeah, I don't know if I was on the air or not, so we'll find out later, I'm sure. I was just talking about the video that has been produced and is highlighting the fact that Sarah Spain and Julie DeCaro, like many women who are in the media or high profile, often endure the assault of really horrible threats online, harassment, the most unkind words that you could possibly hurl at any human being. When you saw this video, what were your thoughts?
You know, I thought a couple of different things. One, I thought, I mean, I cringed. I just cringed because I've been there and I've heard those things. I've had them directed at me. I've seen other women have to take them too. And I cringe because it is so widespread. You know, but I also, you know, in a way I was a little bit relieved because I saw so many people talking about this topic today. But then on the other side of that, then I was almost a little disappointed that why do we have to make a video about why, like, we've been talking about this for a couple of years. Why do we have to go this far to actually, you know, read these tweets for people to realize just how bad it is? So I had really mixed emotions, but overall I think it's positive because it is shining light on a really dire and awful situation. Internet culture, at best, the default language is snark, and at worst, it's violent and it's scary, and people are opting out or censoring themselves from the public dialogue and leaving it really just to kind of the loudest and the meanest. And so overall, I think it's really positive that so many people are having thoughtful conversations about this topic today.
And when you say that it's driving people out of the you know, speaking their minds, whether it's, mm-hmm. you know, in the media, you know, journalists yeah. or politicians, I got a message from someone today who said there was a woman running a trucking company and she was getting so much harassment from her peers that she's folding her company because whether yeah. it was on media or personal attacks, I don't understand how this is acceptable. What was that?
Uh-oh, you're good.
Is that, I think we're losing Amy Guth. Hey, Craig, are you around?
Hello?
All right. We've got some weird stuff going on at the station. Are you back?
Yeah, how's that? I'm just not going to do the earbuds. I'm just going to straight up do my phone the old-fashioned way. How about that?
I'm the same way. Do you have a tough time putting a phone to your ear now? Because I am always on the Bluetooth.
Yeah, I have like the little earbuds with a microphone on them. And anyway, I digress.
It's all good. No, it is a shame, and it's not just you know, it's not just isolated with people in the public eye. I think this is happening with more you know, occurrences in different professional arenas or just personal Certainly. Ones where people use the internet to attack somebody, to pile on, to, you know, just use language, and as the video shows, to say things online that they wouldn't say to your face.
Absolutely. Absolutely. More and more we're seeing that, you know, we're seeing examples of people that are, you know, being open about issues online and even just on their social media who are not necessarily that high profile, but getting trolled terribly. And you know, I really do believe that showing vulnerability and humanity and being very human is what is going to eventually turn the tide and fix internet culture. But in the meantime, doing so usually gets you trolled at best, you know, it usually can put you in harm's way. And so I think that's really dangerous. And you know, sometimes we see experts and public intellectuals saying, you know what, I'm never doing TV again. I'm never going on the radio again. I'm never going to write an op-ed again. I'm just going to stay in academia or in my company or whatever. And if the message gets out, it gets out. And that's not fair because everyone has the right to use whatever social media platform they choose with the expectation of safety. And that's really, you know, the big issue for me, because if you take the 30,000 foot look at this, then really just the loudest and the meanest are going to be controlling the public narrative and thus writing history. And that's really a problem. And we've seen for, you know, decades, we've seen longer than that, for years and years and years, we've seen the problem with having a single narrative and just letting the, you know, majority control the right history, more or less. So it's got bigger implications, and I think there's got to be a lot that needs to happen before we can fix it. I think there's a cultural piece that's certainly the biggest and the hardest to change, but then there's a law enforcement piece, there's a legislative piece, there's, you know, there's an educational piece, I think there's a responsibility of the tech giants to do some of this work too, and I think that leads to their not very diverse hiring practices. It's very difficult to be sensitive to the plight of others if you you yourself are not, you know, if you're surrounded by a really homogenous culture. I was talking about this earlier today with Ro Khan and his show, that I think there are bigger implications of Silicon Valley having a more diverse workforce, not just because it's the right, right thing to do, but because I think it's going to help us, you know, fix some larger issues that are really quite dangerous.
Well, when you say cultural, you know, issues that we have to address, because I, you know, and I'm such a TV hound. I watch so much television. I don't know if you watched O.J. Simpson trial, because you were mentioning it's been going on for decades. This sort of focus on what it means to be a woman in the public eye. When the case was going down, when Marcia Clark was arguing, when she was prosecuting. I do remember all of that, like thinking, oh, does she have to dress that way? And why did she do that to her hair? The things that we focused on, and you forget this human being who had a very important job, who had, you know, it was her job to make sure that the people or the person responsible for murdering two human beings went to jail. And here we were like, what did she do to her hair? And that was even before we were all tweeting. Can you imagine?
Right. Well, and here we are still doing the same, as we have a woman running for the highest office in the country. And all we can talk about is her pantsuits and whether or not she's smiling. And we're talking about putting a woman who saved hundreds, if not thousands, of lives on the $20 bill. And all we can talk about is that she looks grumpy. Like, we're still doing this. But in fact, it's been going on way, way, way before Marcia Clark. If we look at even some of the narratives around the witch trials and witch hysteria in Salem, way, way back when, if we look at the way people talked about suffragists in that movement, it's so much the same that it's disappointing. It's scary because it makes me think that it's so ingrained in such a systemic way that it's going to be darn near impossible to fix. But I don't think it will be totally impossible to fix, which is why I'm working on it. But it is, you know, it's disheartening because I do think it's so ingrained in us, so, so very ingrained, this like victim-blaming, shame culture of, you know, when a woman has been trolled, when she has been victimized by, you know, the public in some way on social media or some other platform, it's really about just ignore it or, you know, don't feed the trolls. And the onus becomes on, you know, it gets put on her to change her behavior rather than have the conversation focus on the problem itself. And I mean, I was just talking about this last week when the app that is like the Uber for women came out, that I was like, that's fine that there are options, but I don't agree with it because this to me is like putting tape on a wall. Because we're not fixing the problem of not, you know, not thoroughly screening the people who are driving us around and not addressing the issue of men who are committing crimes against women. We're just saying, hey, women, go over here for your own private Uber. And that's not fixing it. That's just kind of putting a Band-Aid on it. And I think this is much the same thing. If we're saying, well, just opt out and don't be on social media if you can't handle that, you're essentially saying, hey, all men are this way and rude and vile and violent, and if you can't hang, just don't be on Twitter, and that's not fair. And it's certainly sending a very dangerous message to young people, I think, especially young women, who were essentially saying, hey, you cannot trust any man, you just have to, you know, go away if you can't handle, you know, normative, you know, very dangerous behavior. And I think that's really problematic. And so that's why we really need to address the problem head on rather than just kind of putting Band-Aids around it or decorating it or, you know, just pretending it's not there and focusing on the wrong thing.
Well, and for the people who think that language and the things that we say don't matter, you know, I mean, we can just look at what happened last week with Andrew Shaw and the fact that the NHL and the Blackhawks organization said, look, this is not who we are. Andrew Shaw stood in front of those microphones and said, this is not who I want to be. Mm-hmm. And yet when people use language like that and you say, hey, that hurt my feelings, people get so defensive. They get angry and basically say, I want to say whatever I want. I should be able to, it's a freedom of speech. And my husband had a great comparison for this. He said it would be like if someone was stepping on your foot, if they just didn't realize they were standing on you, and you said, excuse me, you're standing on my foot, you're hurting me, and they went, screw you, I can stand wherever I want. It would be the same thing. I know you didn't, I'm not telling you you're a horrible human being, but this little thing that you're doing is actually causing me pain. So could you please just move? And instead, people are taking it personally. They are getting more, it actually seems to activate more aggression when we ask someone to please be kind. I can't understand where the desire for kindness elicits outrageously aggressive behavior.
I know, but it does. I mean, just this evening, I posted, I was on CBS News earlier this evening talking about that video and my documentary project and giving an overview of you know, online harassment generally, and was getting trolled in the comments section by somebody that I actually know. And the more I insisted, hey, we can have a dialogue, but you need to be respectful and not insult me, the meaner it got. I was like, well, okay, you're proving my point exactly of why this is very necessary. But, you know, I think we often get tangled up in this issue as soon as someone says, hey, I have the right to do anything I want. And so that's why I really love the comparison to stomping on someone's foot that your husband made. Because with right comes responsibility, and that's the part we don't pay enough attention to. We don't talk about responsibility or consequences nearly enough, when really that's where we really need to be putting the focus. Of course you have the right to call me horrible things online. Doesn't make it the right thing to do, nor should you be absolved of responsibility, especially if those things are threatening. I mean, we're seeing cases of not just women, but primarily women, being diagnosed with PTSD after particularly dangerous and violent and graphic episodes of trolling, particularly when it's a large group of people kind of ganging up together on her. You know, that's real. That's a very real consequence. And someone should be held accountable for doing that. You can't just say horrible things to people. You can't just threaten their lives or their safety without consequence. If you walked up to me on the sidewalk and said you were going to, you know, hurt me, you would be held responsible, and the same should apply online.
I agree, and it is astounding to me that people, you know, when they say it's a First Amendment right, the yeah. First Amendment doesn't say, you know, say whatever you want without any consequences or accountability.
Right.
It says that you will not be censored. Amy Guth and Patty Vasquez, Sarah Spain, Julie DeCaro, none of us have the ability to censor you, but you better believe we're going to respond. And yeah. we're going to keep trying to show up. I had a question about that video too, because one of the things that I wanted, you know, as a target of these kinds of tweets and texts and posts, part of me, I mean, these were guys who felt really bad reading these tweets to mm-hmm. the women. These were not guys that actually wrote them. Part of me kind of, and I'm a vengeful person, I guess. You know that I have called texters who have said yeah. horrible things, because we do have your phone number. I mm-hmm. kind of wish it had been the actual texters. But I, you know, I don't know how you track down those, you know, those Twitter accounts and go, hey, you said this thing. I would love to show up on their doorstep and be like, hey, remember when you told Julie DeCaro you wished she was going to be Bill Cosby's next victim? We would love for you to say that to her face. We want the whole country to see the man who tweeted that.
Yes.
Right.
Is that too much?
Right.
Yes. Exactly what I thought.
And you know what? I think, too, there have been examples of men who have trolled women. And, you know, I'm trying to move away from saying trolling and bullying, because, frankly, I think they're like fairy tale words. And we should really call this what it is. And it's abuse. And it's harassment.
Yes.
And in some cases, it is, in fact, emotional terrorism in some cases, truly, truly, especially when large groups of people are involved with the stated goal of terrorizing another human being. But nonetheless, I mean, my train of thought just jumped. I have so many things to say at once. They're like not all coming out of my mouth. But essentially, I don't disagree with you at all. I mean, I think that confronting people often will shut them down. Confronting them with kindness will often shut them down. But
yes.
very few people will actually cop to it. If you know, there's a very famous example of a writer named Lindy West who confronted someone who was harassing her by posing as her recently deceased father and saying really, really manipulative things to her while she was trying to grieve. And she confronted him. And if you Google that story, one of the first pictures you see is a picture of the two of them looking quite happy together, because they've worked it out. They found some common ground. There's a difference, though. I think there's some people that just have a disconnect and don't care, and they're just kind of having fun. And then there's some people with a stated goal of, you know, I want to shut down women's voices, or I want to shut down. I mean, that sounds so far-fetched, but in fact, there are groups. They're called men's rights activists that like have a stated goal of wanting to silence women.
Right. Well,
and
I mean,
and one thing I wonder. Go ahead.
No, I mean, it's not. I've never doubted that that's possible, considering we do have cultures where that is part and parcel for being a part of that, you know,
yeah.
that community. It just is.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say was that the thing, if I'm really looking at that video very critically, and I really love it, and I really think it accomplished a very powerful thing, because it was painful to watch. And and you could see exactly the moment those men got it. And I almost wanted them to say, you know, gosh, this is making me really rethink some things I've said online. I don't think I've said anything this bad, but it's making me rethink, which I saw a lot of people tweeting today. I saw a lot of men say, gosh, I think I, like, in the name of smack talking, have maybe said something that could have been hurtful to somebody. I'm going to go not do that again, or I'm going to go make amends. I saw a lot of men tweeting about that, and I saw a lot of men saying, hey, let's hold each other accountable, dude. But if I'm really, really have my critic hat on, the one thing, not towards the video, but towards culture at large, that I would say is that I can't help but wonder, this video did so wonderfully today, and I was so happy to see light cast on this issue. But you know as well as I do, Patty, that this is not new, and we've been talking about this for a long time. And I can't help but wonder if those were women reading the tweets, if it would have gone quite as viral. There's something to me, I can't help but wonder, are women being believed? Are we finally saying, oh gosh, I guess it is that bad, only because men read the tweets? And I don't even want to think that, and it wouldn't matter. I mean, it doesn't really matter, and there's nothing I can do about it if that was the case. But I can't help but wonder nonetheless. Is that why suddenly the whole internet seemed to stop today and go, oh, man, this is really a big deal. I'm going to change my ways. I can't help but wonder, because there has been a lot of conversation about this for a very long time, at least in the, you know, groups I'm in. I feel like we've been talking about this for several years. So why today? Why now? And I say that with...
And will it last, I think, is the other thing,
too.
And
will it last? Right. Will it last? And I say that with... thrilled to death to see this much light cast on it. But yeah, then there's that too. I also wonder, with so many things, the news happens, the story gets told, it blows up online, and by the next day we've moved on to something else. And then this bubbles up again and people wave their fists and say, damn it, why don't we do something? And then we don't do anything. Right. And, you know, so I wonder about that too. I mean, I wonder about kind of the bigger picture here. And again, I say that with, you know, thrilled to have seen this video today and thrilled that it exists. And I think they did a great job with that. But I hope it has some staying power.
And I hope that the work that you're doing will also have staying power. And I know that it will. Can you let people know how they can follow your journey that you are on currently?
Certainly. Well, I don't have a website for it yet because the documentary does not yet have a name. I'm waiting for one to emerge organically. But I'm making the documentary series about online harassment. The best way to keep tabs is to follow me on Twitter or Instagram. I'm at Amy Guth, G-U-T-H. On both of those platforms. And that's where I'm posting the most about the project. Of course, on Facebook also. A lot of behind-the-scenes stuff on Instagram and, of course, on my own website, amygoots.com. I'll be posting a little bit longer updates of travels and that kind of thing as I go around collecting these interviews from all around the world, because it's really it started out as a U.S.-only project, but quickly so many stories came my way. That it was very clear that it needs to be a global project. So,
and those stories are in good hands. I'm so glad that you are doing this. Can you come in studio in a couple weeks so we can hang out?
Yes,
and talk more about, please. Again, that's Amy Guth, and she has, but one, she's embarking on an incredible journey and a task that really I'm so proud and honored to be any part of it. But she also has the best selfies out there. I'm sorry. You just do. I really am envious of the way you do selfies.
thank you
so much. Follow her on Twitter and Instagram. That's Amy Guth, and we'll have her in studio in a couple weeks to catch up with her some more. More to this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Bye, Amy. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios. West, I am in Los Angeles, and back home in the Tribune Tower in our Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue, Steve Dale, the pet expert extraordinaire, he of all things pets. Steve Dale. Hey, Steve Dale. How are you doing?
Hey, nothing can go wrong with me. I promise you that.
Why? What are you talking about? What are you referencing?
Everything's
fine.
Everything's perfect.
Steve, you're doing great. I'm looking at Steve.
Yes.
I think he's talking about the fact that I'm staring at him.
No.
Don't
that's
stare
all.
At him.
Yes. Yep.
Don't make eye contact.
Yes, exactly. You know what happens.
Play dead, Craig.
They get aggressive.
Oh, God.
We don't want that.
What animals do get aggressive when you make eye contact? Are a lot of animals sort of challenged by...
Yeah, some of that is a misconception. So next time you meet a gorilla on the street, it's okay to look right into their eyes. It's a fallacy to say don't do that. However, with dogs that are already kind of revved up, to stare at a dog makes a dog more uncomfortable and can increase aggression. But I will tell you, if I walk right up to Craig now and just stare at him and I'm inches from his face, he will say, "What the heck? Get out of my face."
Right.
That is exactly what I'll say. No stronger language will be used.
That's right. Well, and how about, okay, because the reason I make the joke about don't make eye contact, play dead, I have a friend named Fred Klett. He's a comedian from Wisconsin, and he had been watching one of those Discovery Channel shows that said if you're being attacked by a bear, play dead.
Yeah.
And he said, how long do you play dead until you're actually dead?
That's a good point.
If the bear is attacking you, like how long do you keep that charade up?
Well, hopefully the bear loses interest and walks away. I mean, that's the theory. It can work. Happily, I cannot tell you that I've been in that circumstance myself.
Congratulations. I think that is to be applauded.
Yeah, thank
greatly.
You. It's called good luck, I suppose. But you know what? Most bears aren't interested in people anyway. Grizzly bears might be. Black bears generally are not, except maybe curiosity, unless you have food in your back pocket.
Right. Or in your tent. Don't keep food in your tent.
True enough. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying. You're supposed to hang it in a tree. You tie everything up. And I don't know. That seems like something. Look, you're here for other things. What do you want to tell us about tonight, Steve Dale, pet expert?
So much going on.
All things pets. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Well, I could begin with the because I know you like political stuff and the excellent decisions that are often made in Springfield. So the Department of Natural Resources, and I don't know how the Illinois State Department of Natural Resources can do this. There was a bill floating around by our friend Sarah Feigenholz to forward this adjustment in a bill. The funds are already there to support spay-neuter specifically for community cats. Those are feral cats to do trap-neuter return programs. So the cats are trapped humanely. They're spayed, neutered. We hope vaccinated for rabies in Cook County. Actually, that's the law, that they're vaccinated for rabies. Then returned to wherever they were caught, to the colony, and ear-notched. And that way the colony caretakers, and there are caretakers who supplement the cats with food, can identify any new cats coming in. If new cats come into that colony, they are similarly spayed or neutered as well. And these funds would help pay for that spay-neuter. It's been an ongoing program. I mean, this is nothing new. It's the continued support of that program. And only in our state can the Illinois Department of Natural Resources table a bill just like that, because they feel that these cats are an introduced species, that they are dangerous to other animals, and just because their opinion, which incidentally is not based on fact, and I can offer that fact, I don't understand, but they did. They did table the bill. And now the hope is that there'll be some sort of task force that can reintroduce this. It's not even really a bill. It's an amendment to an existing bill.
Can I ask?
What a bizarre situation. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I ask, who are the danger or the animals that the cats would be a danger to?
So the
birds, apparently.
That's exactly right. So the conjecture is that the cats would kill, and I forget the exact numbers that they indicated.
It says here that a study published in 2013 estimated between 1.4 to 3.7 billion birds.
Mm-hmm. And you know what?
6.9. Yeah, go ahead.
No, no, the go ahead.
It's your article.
It is. But you know, if you continue reading, then you can go ahead and read and explain the problem with those numbers.
Yes, it says that first of all, it's in a guest blog. Is that what it is?
That's one of the places, sure. Yes,
and the number of birds is implausible, according to Steve Dale, the pet expert, he of all things pets. The current number of birds who reside in the United States is actually only 3.2 billion, and in North America, 5.8 billion. If cats were killing this many birds, they would be killing 43 to 100% of the U.S. birds each year.
And that's the fact. But yet, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources says otherwise, based on a story that's erroneous that appeared in a publication
from a guest blog.
Yeah, and I,
is that what it is?
No, it was a story that appeared in Smithsonian, I think, or Audubon, or somewhere, but not based.
It sounds like a blog. I'm
but
kidding.
It might be. But it's not based on science, and I don't understand. I truly, this stuff really makes me upset.
Well, I'm also.
Do you want to go down this? Go ahead, Desmond.
I'm just confused. Birds need doesn't everything have a predator? Circle of life or whatever.
Well, right.
So
and
if some birds die, they die because that's what happens.
I don't want birds to die either. But you know what? They say the cats are an introduced invasive, is their term, species. Well, maybe it depends on how you define that. So cats actually came over on the Mayflower. So they've been here for a very long time. They've been in Europe, living beside people for thousands of years. And you're right, Esmerella. They have their place, in my opinion, in the ecosystem. Having said that, here's good news. Trap, neuter, return of these feral cats actually works to reduce population if that's the goal. That's number one. Number two, we're keeping fewer cats outdoors anyway as more and more people happily, which is something I'm a supporter of, keep cats indoors only.
And how did you end up tangling with John Cass over feral cats, may I ask?
I don't know.
I don't understand. Does he have something against cats? What does he want to do? Just kill them all? What's his deal?
I don't know. You know, John is a very talented writer, an extraordinary journalist, and sometimes very confused. So
or just committed to his opinions, I think.
Indeed,
I guess.
He is committed to his erroneous opinions when it comes to feral cats. You know,
so I hear a throwdown. I think we need to get you two into a ring. What would be the face off? What would be the showdown between John Cass and
this
Steve
is easily a steel cage death match. Like, that's what it is.
I think so.
Wait, would this be a cat fight?
Yes.
Oh!
Esmeralda gets a sticker.
Well done. We'll find you a voting sticker. I voted sticker from the suburbs.
Well, this all began with Treehouse Humane Society. They have a program. They're a shelter in town. They're a cat shelter. And they also do trap, neuter, return of many hundreds and hundreds of cats in the Chicago area, where these cats are cared for by colony caretakers. And Treehouse is responsible for spay neutering these cats and vaccinating the cats. And the caretakers put them back into the colony where they came from. And there was a program that was developed a couple of years ago based on needs of the city of Chicago, both business leaders and public officials, who said, I don't know what to do. I'm being overrun with rats, and everything we've tried has failed. So what Treehouse did is they relocated some of those cats, feral cats, already out there. John Cass, we are not importing cats, like he says. That's ridiculous. These cats are already there, and they're just simply moved from place A to place B. When they go to place B, where the rats are, cats move in, rats move out, and it really works. John, however, says this is all propaganda, and it really doesn't work, and instead he has an idea. He wants to kill all the cats, which isn't very plausible. And I could talk about why that's the case, but that's his recommendation.
Well, he calls them songbirds. First of all, he apparently is going after the cat ladies when he is trying to protect the songbirds because he loves the lovely tunes that they play.
I do too. I do too.
I'm not mocking the songbirds. I'm just saying he's calling all birds. First of all they're not out there killing all the songbirds. Cats don't hear a bird singing and go, I must kill it.
No.
They're animals of prey.
No, and in fact, cats in the big city, and it's what you just suggested is kind of like a mockingbird thing.
Right.
Craig, she said mocking all the – no, that doesn't count.
No, you don't get a sticker for that.
Oh, tried. Yeah. I failed.
No, you were close. Yeah.
Not
sticker
even.
Sticker close.
Not even,
I think. We'll give you a high five maybe on the way out.
I'll take it. So it turns out the cats that live in the big city eat the same thing. Ironically, that rats eat, they go to garbage cans and trash in back of restaurants. That's the number one food source. They don't want to work that hard for food if they don't have to. Number two are handouts. So people give cats food, and that's another way. Number three on the list are rodents. Songbirds would be number four or number five on that list in the heart of Chicago. It depends on where these cats are. So cats who live in the south, actually lizards are higher on the list in many places than birds are. The biggest problem birds have is me and you. It is habitat destruction. It is human beings destroying their habitat. Number two is pollution, light and air pollution. And climate change probably is number three. Cats are way down there on the list.
You know, I'm cool with birds, but maybe those birds should just learn to not get caught by cats.
I'm just going to wait till the sun comes up. Can they keep it down till the sun comes up? I mean, come on.
Well, that's...
I come home at 2:30 in the morning, and they got to be really just rubbing it in that I'm not in bed yet.
Right.
Come on.
What about those ones that swoop down on you?
Ugh.
Let's get rid of those too, John Cass. Come on.
There's a cat
They're hurting
you
people.
You both do not sound cool with birds, just so you know.
They
that
don't
first
like birds.
Sentence seems like a lie.
I'm just saying. He's
I
going towards the cats.
You know? Really don't like... So it's kind of like the movie The Birds?
Yeah, what about those birds?
Yeah, those are scary birds.
Well, so
peck your eyes out.
So cats sometimes do kill the pigeons that some people don't want. I mean, they catch what's easiest. So birds that are flying around, not easy for a cat to catch. They don't fly. So the pigeons that spend a lot of time on the ground, they're more likely to catch. The other thing is birds are diurnal. They're out and about during the day. Cats that are outdoors are nocturnal. They're out and about at night. I mean, the whole thing about killing birds occurs, but it is so overdone. And if you talk to any ecologist who's away from what has become a political issue, cats versus birds, it shouldn't be that way, but it's become that. But when you talk to people that are independent scientists of all of that, they'll confirm everything I'm saying.
Well, I just think that John Cass is it's so maddening in Springfield he had to find something else to do, and he went for cats and dogs. That's all I can say. It's the only explanation I can come up with. Craig, did you say we have a caller on the line that you
wanted
to
bring in? That is correct.
In?
We have Joe on the line. He's got a question for Steve.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Pumpkin.
Up?
Joe is on the line.
Joe's kind of the silent type.
He is. He's a very
silent.
He
is. He really is. A strong silent
type,
as a matter
of
fact.
Yep, Aubrey, it's on air.
Joe, what's up?
Nope.
It's on. I have it on.
All
right, let's take a break, and we'll try to figure out how to get Joe on.
I know what Joe would have asked.
Yeah. I
know what Joe would have asked.
The point he wants to make is he said that John Cass has discussed how in Australia there's some kind of reward for
there's
okay,
a
so
bounty on cats.
That.
Yeah,
so
are you kidding me?
And in England, right?
I don't know about the UK. They have a bounty on cats in the UK.
No, that
no.
Sounds
they
awful.
use dogs to hunt rats. I thought that was the way we were going to go for that.
Oh no. So I could talk about both those issues. So what John Cass talked about in a column is in Australia they have these native hunters that actually have a bounty for every – they get paid for every cat they catch. But there's a backstory to that that John Cass did not write about. So culturally in Australia for years and years and years, up to now, cats live indoors, outdoors. And there's a kind of marsupial in Australia of which there are more than 70 species. They're called possums. Now, when we think of possums, we think of the opossum. These are different animals. They are also marsupials, but they're generally unrelated, really. They're very, very, very distantly related to the opossum. And they're endangered. And Australia is an island nation, of course, so the animals have nowhere to go. Once they're gone, they're gone. And they're only unique to that part of the world. And happily, that's a good thing, the government wants to protect their native wildlife. And cats over the eons have been killing these animals that are easier to catch for them than birds, actually. So the government said, you know what, folks, keep cats indoors. And folks weren't doing that. I mean, it's hard to mandate culture, and the government found that out. So one thing they've done in some parts of the country is pay these native hunters to capture and kill the stray cats or feral cats that are out there. Now, I'm not suggesting it's a good idea, but I am saying that is completely different than the situation here in America. It's just completely different. And the mindset for most people that have cats in this country, not everyone, but most people, increasingly so, is to keep cats indoors only, which I'm a supporter of, not only for wildlife. Not only are you a better neighbor that way so the cats don't poop in your neighbor's garden, but also, most important to me, it is most beneficial for the health of cats.
Well, there you go.
Now, about
I hope that's asked and answered, yes.
About the idea, maybe, I don't know when we have to take a commercial break, but John had a unique idea about what to do about the rat problem that can only come from John Cass. But you are right, Patty. It may not be as creative as he claims, because they're doing something or have done something somewhat similar in the UK.
Well, I think he wants to copy the Brits. And I mean, you know, all right, but okie dokie then.
So he wants to have dogs catch. Oh, go ahead. I'll wait.
But we're talking about cats. We are talking about a population of cats that already exists that can help out a situation with a cause, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than bringing a whole population of dogs. I mean, does he want packs of dogs running around? Are these supposed to be dogs for hire? Are they going to be city dogs? Are they going to be, I'm just saying.
He wants
this
to bring,
seems like a ridiculous.
Yeah, well, yes. Yeah. He wants to bring dogs down from apartments that happen to be terriers, and therefore he believes instinctively rat hunters. They're not all instinctively rat hunters, but he wants to see the Terrier Olympics, I believe. And I suggested putting, because we did a podcast together, what is it called? The City Way or Chicago Way, the Chicago Way at WGN Plus. And I suggested putting medals, like Olympic medals, around the winning dogs. He said, no, the winners get a free bus pass. Probably a good idea. Okay. I'm not sure what the dogs would do with that, but their people would love it in Chicago. Who wouldn't want a free bus pass? You know, of course it's tongue-in-cheek, because it's ridiculous to think. I don't even want to entertain the. It's silly, you know? I'm not sure what his point is, but we're not going to see terriers hunting rats. I'm not sure that would be effective.
Well, we should buy him a songbird. More after this on 720 WGN. Yes. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios West in Los Angeles. And I wish I was hanging out with my friends back in Chicago. I'm here for work, and I always like hanging out with our good friend Steve Dale, who is in our Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. And which one do you want to start with? The e-cigarettes, the petting, the L.A. story? What do you got, Steve Dale?
Oh, it's whatever you want me to take. How about the e-cigarettes?
So e-cigarettes.
I've never smoked one of those. Have you?
Do you smoke at all? Have you ever smoked anything? I mean, be honest.
No.
Nothing. Never smoked. You've never inhaled anything.
No, that's true. Well, actually, when I was, 8 or 9 years old, my mom, who smoked, gave me a cigarette, and I think I choked for 4 days.
Sure.
And that taught me. I don't know whether that was her purpose or not, but it really did. It taught. I remember this still.
Yeah, there are parents that would do that. Oh, you want to try it? Go ahead. And then that was like their way of breaking you of ever wanting to do it again.
It worked.
For some people, it didn't necessarily work. Well, they're very good. All right. Well, e-cigarettes, we have several friends of the show. We're not naming any names, who sometimes even bring their what do they call them? Vape sticks? What are they called, Craig?
I think
I think that's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's fine.
Vaping
and
with their vape. I don't know how it works.
I think in the sort of casualness with which e-cigarettes are used is like it's not the same thing. There hasn't been any legislation necessarily saying I can't smoke this in a public place, or I don't know. So how is this affecting our pets?
Well, I don't know what it does as far as people goes, and maybe the jury is still out on that. I don't know. But here's what we now do know. Pets are sometimes enticed by it. Particularly, I guess they come in different flavors at times.
Yes, they do.
And that makes it even more enticing, apparently, to pets, and sometimes even more dangerous. So the pets go after it, they swallow it, and they get very, very sick, and sometimes they die. It is that dangerous. So,
Going after the chemicals that are placed inside the e-cigarettes, or they're chewing on the e-cigarettes for dogs. I would imagine that's enticing.
Yes.
Right, because anything they can get their teeth on, they're, you know, going to town with it. Well, that's scary. So make sure you're keeping your vape cigarettes away from your pooches.
Absolutely true. I mean, it turns out to be exceedingly dangerous for pets. I mean, really bad. So much so that by the time you realize, okay, this has happened, my dog is chewed on it, oh no, it fell on the floor, and you rush to the emergency hospital, the dog could be near death.
Aww.
Depending on the size of the dog and how much the dog is ingested. So, yeah, this is serious stuff, and I don't think most pet owners know about that. So that's why I wanted to talk about it. The assumption is that our dogs love us hugging them.
Okay.
Do you ever hug your dog?
Maybe.
Yeah. Most people do. You know,
I consider it more cuddling. I mean, because a hug, I always think of something that has to be reciprocated, right? So hugging is when you wrap your arms around someone and they wrap their arms back around you. So with a dog, you're kind of just mauling them.
Well, you know
aren't
what?
You?
Well, I have a dog that hugs. And I'm
oh,
not.
Really?
Yeah,
what?
I swear.
No.
And, yeah, I'll take a video for you.
I need pictures. Okay. All right, give me a selfie.
Next time
Craig,
I come in.
What do you think? Do you think Steve Dale's dog hugs him?
I don't think so.
Or has he been trained?
Like
has he
stands
been trained
up
his...
and hugs you?
Yes.
The way a human hugs.
Yes.
And does a little hip shake, a little bit like get in here
okay.
and hug me.
You've so seen our dog.
Explain the process weird. To us. How you get hugged by your dog? Is this something? Do you lift your dog up and then
no.
eventually?
Our dog lifts herself up. So she jumps up, but not like a dog jumps on you. They're like, yippee, 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 the person's home. She actually goes back on her back legs and okay. puts her front legs around me. And I swear she hugs me, and I bet I'm not alone. 312-981-7200. Please help
Tell
me.
Tell Steve Dale he's alone.
Is your
no,
dog?
Don't do that. I don't want to be alone.
Is your dog an awkwardly long hugger?
Yes.
Or is it an appropriate amount of time? Okay.
Sometimes,
How long
yeah.
is too long to hug your dog?
So according to recent research, any amount of time is too long to hug your dog, and I don't completely buy that. So there are a couple things. So the research says that our dogs get anxious when we hug them, and it points to signs of anxiety in dogs that I can go through in a second. But I, first of all, want to point out that there are exceptions. I think there are dogs that have learned to enjoy being hugged. I'm talking about not dogs who hug us, but us hugging dogs. I am certain that there are dogs who, well, they're not. So we're born predisposed, being primates, to want mm-hmm. to hug. We cannot help it. It's in our DNA. The same thing
Craig,
is true for
you
monkeys.
And I, you and I are going to have to, can we weigh on this, Craig? Do we weigh
well,
on this
Well, I'm
no?
also Just still confused if he's hugging his dog or if his dog is hugging him. That I'm still at a loss.
Oh, no, no, no.
He's saying his dog is initiating the hug,
right,
it sounds
so that
like.
Would be totally out of
he
the
He started
research.
It. His dog right. His dog started the hug.
Right. So that's
yes.
his dog hugging him. That's totally different. That
yes.
was not researched.
It has not been researched. Right. My dog has not been researched. You're right about that.
Right.
So I'm talking about the research, which is, according to Psychology Today, Stanley Coren, I know the author, who says, based on his studies, dogs don't enjoy being hugged by us. And I think there's some truth to that, but backing up a couple steps, as means of explanation, we are predisposed, born to want to hug. So human beings, no matter where they are, no matter what culture they come from on the planet, whether they be human beings or other primates, the great apes, monkeys, they all mm-hmm. hug. They all have that in common. Dogs don't have the equipment to do it so easily to one another. They have no purpose to do it. They don't want to do it. They're not primates. It is not in their DNA. So we go around hugging them, and dogs are sometimes annoyed and sometimes get anxious. And I do agree with Stanley about that. However, uh-huh. I maintain there are some dogs that have learned to not only tolerate it, but truly enjoy it, because after all, dogs sometimes thrive on our attention. So when the little girl plays with her dog and hugs her Raggedy Ann doll and then hugs her little doggy, some dogs just adore it. They love it. So it really does depend on the dog, I think.
I'm sorry. I'm hugging a Weimaraner right now, and she seems to just be tolerating it. Hold on a second. Hi, Nona. I'm house sitting for our friends Mark DiCarlo and Yenny Alvarez, and they have a beautiful Weimaraner who has jumped up onto the couch, and she seems to just kind of be like, "Are we done?"
Patty, yes. we also have Liz on the line who claims to also have a hugging dog. I'm very confused now.
Okay, Liz, we believe you. We're not doubting you,
right.
But you are calling to say that Steve Dale is not alone, right?
No, he's not. I actually have a dog that recently got adopted out. I was fostering her. And she would jump up on my lap. She was a little Italian greyhound. And she would put one paw on each side of my neck, like on my shoulders.
Uh-huh.
And she would
uh-huh.
thrust her head and her neck into my neck.
That's
and that was her hug.
Yeah, that's what our dog does. I love you, Liz. Thank you for coming to my rescue. But that's true.
No
there problem. There are some dogs who do that.
Wait, now, Liz.
And she was actually really cool, because there have been occasions when I've been sad, and she would actually do that when I'm sad and, like, maybe crying, and she would, like, lick the tears off my face, too.
Oh.
What?
Sure.
Oh, yep. See, she's got the world's greatest sympathy dog.
Now I don't want to ask her any more questions. Now I just want, that was beautiful. Now, okay.
You just want her dogs.
Right. Yeah. I am curious, though, Liz, did the dog pause then and wait for, like, getting pet? Is that just the way that your dog asked for being pet? Or is that just a hug and then the dog was done? It just wandered off.
No, she would do that, and she would, you know, give her a little hug or whatever, and then she would usually cuddle, or if she got distracted by something else, she'd just jump away and go do something else.
Yeah, I could relate to that. And it often happens with me with our dog. We have two dogs, and I've had many dogs in my life, and this is the only dog I've had that really, many dogs that inappropriately jump on me when they come home. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a real hug. And Ethel, the dog, will do that. Our other dog doesn't do that. She's too small is part of the reason. But even if I'm sitting on the sofa, exactly what you describe, if I'm sitting on the sofa or something and she wants to come up to me, she not only snuggles with me, she puts her paws around me and she's hugging me. I don't know what, any other way to describe it.
Yeah, it's like you know the difference between regular jumping and trying to get your attention and a hug once you've had a hug. I've had a lot of dogs in my life, but this is really the first dog that's ever done this.
And I bet we're not alone. There will be others that call in and say, you know what? I've got a crazy hugging dog. I want to hear about the hugging cats. That's what I really want to hear about.
Oh, gosh. Liz, what breed is your pooch?
It's an Italian Greyhound.
Oh, that's right. You said the Italian Greyhound.
Oh, they're so sweet. Yeah, I love IGs. Sweet. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to post a picture of the dog that I'm hugging, and she looks like she could care less.
By the way, Steve asks, and he shall receive from the 847. Our cat gives hugs like that.
I love it.
It's a cat hug.
Of course, I love that. I'm not surprised. My cat doesn't do that, but I'm not surprised.
All right. I believe you, Liz. I believe you, Steve Dale.
Uh-huh. I believe you, 847.
I'm going to post a picture of me hugging a Weimaraner. She's really not happy about it. She's just like, you can see she's counting. How much longer? 8, 9, 10. Can I go now?
But having said all of that, in general, I am concerned when kids hug their dogs or their cats or even worse, bunny rabbits or gerbils. You know, rabbits, so to hug a small animal, you have to pick up that animal. Rabbits actually have, what is acrophobia, a fear of heights? Is that the right word?
Sure.
I think it is. Anyway, rabbits do have a fear of being picked up. And they have
I can see that.
A fear of being
Me
held
too,
tightly.
Especially in bars. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Steve Dale is also an acrophobia expert. That is correct.
Thank you
that
very much.
Extreme or irrational fear of heights.
Yeah, and rabbits have that.
I mean, how far can they jump?
Rabbits?
If you think about it. Yeah they can't really get too far off the ground.
Well,
they're more lateral than vertical jumpers, aren't
they? Well, but also compared to like how they stand, though, like the amount that they jump compared to how tall they are, that could be a lot to them.
Right.
If they jump three rabbits in the air, that's a very high distance.
Yeah, and it depends what kind of rabbit it is. But yeah, a rabbit can jump two or three times the size of the rabbit. So
it's three rabbits up. That's high.
So that would be like me if I'm 6 feet tall, which I'm not, but it would be like me then jumping 18 feet into the air, which would be pretty amazing. So you're right. I mean, that's a very good point, Craig. You know, so rabbits aren't so bad at jumping, but they don't like to be held. A lot of small animals don't like to be held tightly against us, probably because they're prey animals. But for whatever reason, they do not like that. So to hug them actually can terrify them. That's one thing. So what do? Well, they wiggle to get loose and they can get hurt falling, or they, in desperation, may bite. And it's generally kids that are hugging. So even for dogs and cats, I can go through all the signs of anxiety that sometimes, and Dr. Corin is right about this in Psychology Today, that our animals express trying to warn us, I really don't like it, I really don't like it. And sometimes those signs are really subtle. Like, did you know a dog yawning is a sign that the dog is tired or a sign of stress? It really is. And a lot of people don't know that.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
Or a cat's tail going back and forth rather swiftly means the cat
that's
is...
that's danger.
Yeah, it can be. That's, absolutely. Yeah. And it means the cat is stressed out. So people don't know that, and then it gets to the next point and the next point, and mom and dad are thinking, oh, that's cute. Little Johnny is hugging the dog or the cat. And from the animal's perspective, it's not so cute, and that's how a lot of bites really do happen. And they can be avoided.
I don't know what you mean, Steve. They can be. Steve Dale, I would tell you this. You know who really doesn't like to be hugged?
Who?
Hamsters. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studios West, hanging out with my favorite Weimaraner, Nola.
I don't know about Nola. So you have a picture posted on your Instagram page.
She wants out of that hug.
Yeah, exactly. Patty Vasquez, WGN Radio. And one sign of anxiety or stress in animals is that the animal, the dog or cat, is looking the other way. As if you don't exist, pretending you're not even there, and that's exactly what Nola's doing.
Yes, with the human hug, she wants out.
Yeah, it's very funny.
So there you go. That's a good example of a dog that does not enjoy being hugged.
Yeah, I might use that image in one of my veterinary talks, perhaps.
Oh yeah, please feel free. Thank you very much.
Anxiety in dogs.
Let me tell you this. She also does not enjoy the selfie. So that's a double look away, just so you know. It's the hug and the selfie.
Oh, that's
a lot
terrible
to accomplish.
And if you do use the image anywhere, all checks can be made payable to Craig Collins at
of
Pretty
course
Late with Patty Vasquez. Totally fine.
This is correct.
Yes, of course. you get a royalty.
Yeah, she won't sit. Do you have people tell you their dogs or their pets don't like to be photographed?
Oh,
is
sure.
Is that something that comes up ever?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the reverse. So we had a dog on Steve Cochran's show from Anti-Cruelty Society, this cute beagle pit bull mix, Beagle Bull. And I made up that name, or we made it up right before the show. And every time I brought out the phone and pointed it to the dog, I swear the dog smiled. I swear to you. I swear. Dogs
cool
do smile. And I swear every time I pulled out the phone. So I don't know what happened in that previous home. But maybe the dog got a treat every time the camera or phone was facing the dog. But every time I pulled out my phone, the dog went, "Woo! I'm smiling. Give me a treat." It was really quite incredible. But the reverse can happen too. There are dogs, I swear, that do not like to have their pictures taken.
Yeah, Nola does everything she can to turn her head away from the camera. It's very hard to get a selfie with her.
Yeah, so. I don't know what that's about.
Oh, and not even just a selfie. Like, she doesn't like when you try to, you know, just from far away, if she's just sitting down, she'll turn her head away again. Same thing like you said. It's a stress thing. For whatever reason, she is uncomfortable with the attention.
I try to put my cat in front of a mirror, and she does the same thing. Like, she won't look at the mirror.
Interesting.
I'm awful. I'm like, look at yourself, cat. Look.
Look at you.
Look at yourself.
The cat
she
does
won't do
that?
It.
No,
yeah,
of course not.
She won't look at the mirror.
Well, how does berating a cat affect a cat's...
Yeah.
It sounds like that's all.
I kind of do that a lot.
Yeah. It sounds like Esmeralda.
But in like a fun way. Like annoying her. No. Like, hey, kitty.
Well,
look at yourself.
If you really berate a cat, I mean, seriously, if you were to punish a cat. So dogs, I'm not endorsing punishing dogs, not hardly. But if you were to do it, dogs generally forgive and they forget. Or they forgive and they don't forget. Cats don't forgive. They don't forget. You get the middle digit and that's the way it goes.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
I don't berate her. I berate her in the "I'm poking fun at you" and "I love you, cat." So I'm going to annoy you.
Well, it's interesting about
like the SNL "Insult Your Dog" segment.
No, I just like I do stupid things. Like I'll call her name and I'll just keep calling her name until she finally looks at me and then I'll just go hi. And she looks at me like, "I don't know who you are." And then just goes back to staring at the wall.
I think I'm on the side of your cat. And remember what we said, if you look the other way, that means the animal's stressed out. I think the animal, your cat, is looking at the wall maybe because...
I think she's more annoyed by me.
Yeah.
She's like, just stop talking to me.
But what's really interesting, though, is kittens and puppies look into the mirror and then they realize at some point in time, it's not them. And some dogs and cats catch on rather quickly. Some take more time to do so. And they paw and they paw at the mirror for days at a time on occasion. What really kicks in, though, is they sniff it. And it doesn't sniff like or smell like a dog or a cat or themselves even. It just smells like however mirrors smell. And they realize then it's not a living thing.
And then they feel tricked and they attack.
No, I didn't say that.
And then you hug them and you stop them from attacking.
Okay. Exactly. Yeah, it's all about the hug. Hey, some news happened where you are in L.A.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
Some animal news. It just came across the wire. So in Los Angeles, you know, people think of the big city, Los Angeles, and they think of Hollywood. But all around L.A., there's all these mountains and the residences that go all the way up into the mountains, right?
I'm actually on the side of a hill right now. I'm in the valley by Universal Studios.
So what I'm talking about, in fact, includes the area that you're in right now. They've created these wildlife corridors where there will be no construction allowed. This was just announced tonight. It's probably on the LA News tonight. There will be no construction allowed in these corridors. It'll only be for wildlife, including cougars, you know, mountain lions that can be potentially dangerous to people, and all sorts of other wildlife. I mean, whatever lives there can live there. And the problem,
including feral cats, John Cass.
Yes. And the problem with not having corridors is then they do end up in people's backyards and places we don't really want them, or they have no room to go from one place to another. So in the case of, say, mountain lions, you can't find the opposite. I think it's late enough for me to say sex. So they cannot be.
Wow, that is a first in the show. That was disgusting.
Steve Dale all of a sudden went all tawdry.
He does not get a sticker. We take all his stickers away.
Language, yeah.
After sitting in on the burlesque segment that one morning, that's nothing. I get the email about that. So which was fun. So my point is that giving them these corridors allows them an opportunity to live, really, to go about their business and to move in a close to natural way from place A to place B. And I think it's absolutely terrific that Los Angeles has done this.
Well, and I think there are a lot of activists in this area that would be concerned about, you know, boxing in wildlife and, prohibiting their ability to survive. We have been hanging out with Steve Dale. How can folks find you and everything that you do?
The website is stevedale.tv.
And every Sunday morning from 6:30 to 7, you catch Steve Dale right here on WGN.
You do, yes.
Yes, yes. Right there. Steve Dale. It's right there. More after this on 720 WGN. Wisconsin. It was an amazing night. And while I was there, I found out that there's a pretty spectacular festival coming up. Jenna is the Associate Director of Special Events, and she's on the line with us. What do you have coming up next weekend?
We've got the Kohler Festival of Beer. It is our 8th annual, and it is really a fan favorite of all of our repeat guests that come back for it.
Well, I'd imagine, you know, as a Wisconsin destination, a beer festival is pretty much a home run.
It does go together. Everybody says beer and sausage when they think of Wisconsin. So it was just a natural fit for us to start doing a festival of beer in the spring and early summer for us. And we've got some favorite events. Cheers to Beers, which you can taste all of your favorite microbrews at. Shorts and Chefs are, you know, those are our two favorite events. But a lot of other fun things. Not Your College Kegger.
No.
The shops. Well, all great stuff.
Well, this is what I love is that you also, the Bodines are coming in.
Yeah, Sammy Lanis is coming in for Cheers to Beers. There's great entertainment at all of our big events. So really, it's a really fun atmosphere. This year, we've added some personalities, I guess you can say it, to Festival of Beer. So we've got, you know, sunglasses and pins. So you can choose your persona, whether you're the hop head or the beer snob, the party animal. We've got it all.
And what kind of craft specialties do you have for this weekend?
So we've got all sorts. We've got everything from, you know, people that are just getting into the craft beer scene. We've got some tasting and some seminars. You know, we've got a beer 101 and craft beer trends, all the way up to Cheers to Beers, where we've got Five Rabbits, Three Beers, or Three Sheeps Brewery, all sorts of different breweries coming in. with their specialty beers that you can just go around and taste and talk with the brewers and representatives from the breweries to learn a little bit more about all of their beers they've got on tap.
And I love the idea that people would run a 5K. And it seems as though, are they running from table to table filled with beer?
Now, that might be another event. That might be more like the Beer Olympics.
But, yeah, no kidding.
We've got the 5K. We've got going through the Village of Kohler. There's two different stops for beer along the way, and then you finish with a beer. So kind of three beers amidst the 5K. You get a great goodie bag. It's a great way to start out your Saturday if you want to keep your fitness in mind. Also on Friday, we've got a hoppy yoga event. So
I would sign up for, hoppy yoga.
Exactly. Trying to keep the fun in mind, but of course getting your beers in for the fun weekend as well.
And are there still overnight packages available for this festival?
We do have some overnight packages at the Inn on Woodlake or at the American Club. So definitely go to AmericanClubResort.com to check out all of the events and what we've got for packages online. But we know it's a great hit with Chicagoans. They love coming up to Kohler, and we love having them.
Well, I really love the title of one of these, which is Kegs and Eggs, a one-night stay.
Oh, yeah.
And
You get it all.
Yeah, I know. I love that. This is a really fun weekend. So you have a lot of return customers. What would you tell someone who's coming for the very first time? Because it's not that far of a drive from Chicago, and we also have a lot of listeners in Wisconsin. This seems like a great way to sort of get to know people who want to appreciate beer, but also want to have a nice, fun weekend away.
It's a great introduction to Kohler. We've got, you know, because it's at the end of April, we still have great rates. You can make it for a really reasonable weekend. It's 2.5 hours from downtown Chicago up to Kohler. An hour up from Milwaukee. I would pick a few events. Shorts and Chefs is a great event on Saturday event to start out. You've got about 15 different restaurants that you can get a bite from and a brewery paired with each. Pick one afternoon event. We've got a grilling skills where you can actually get behind the grill with one of our chefs and learn some skills to take home. And then finish with Not Your College Kegger or Cheers to Beers that Saturday evening to just top off the event. But it's really meant to be a fun weekend, something to really unwind, you know, get away from your normal weekend schedule and just enjoy yourselves.
No, this is fabulous. I wish I have to travel that weekend, but I know that you've got a lot. I know. I was so sad when I found out that it was sort of it coincided with another trip I have to make because
yeah.
I so want to go. You have to have a comedy night at your festival of beer so we can do like a WGN comedy night.
We had so much fun having you up in March, Patty. It was your show was just great. So
well, the audience this is what I tell people. I'm only as good as my audience, and the people that came out to that show that night were out for a great evening of laughter.
It was a great night.
It was so. It was so much fun. I mean, you can really tell. And tell me a little bit about the Kohler, the American Club, because it's lavish, and yet it feels so sort of grounded in a tradition of that area.
Yeah, so the Village of Kohler is a 2,000-person village. It is a company town. Kohler, the plumbing mogul, has a hospitality business. The American Club is a 5-star, 5-diamond hotel and resort. We've got a 5-star spa, championship golf, all the great dining, all sorts of things to do for people, you know, even if they're just looking to come up any other weekend, you know, outside of Festival of Beer. It's a great location to spend a weekend or a night just to get away.
Yeah, and I see you have all kinds of, aside from the Festival of Beer, you've also got the food and wine experience. And
fun.
And what is this in celebration of chocolate that I'm seeing on your page?
That was right before Comedy Night. You missed that one. Those are Festival of Beer, Food and Wine, and Celebration of Chocolate are our three signature events. Celebration of Chocolate usually happens the weekend after Valentine's Day. We've got Kohler Original Recipe Chocolate, which we make in-house. We've got our chocolatier, who was named by Dessert Professional as a top 10 chocolatier in North America this past year. So a lot of great things happening in our chocolate shop as well.
Do you happen to know off the top of your head if Melt Chocolate is a part of your event? Because we just made friends with them. They're near Milwaukee, and we're big fans.
I don't know. It doesn't sound familiar.
What to make
an
introduction? Yes, I have to agree. Why is it right after Valentine's Day? Is it to sort of make guys feel like, oh, you bought our chocolates? Here's the real stuff.
We just kind of like to keep that month of love going, I guess. You know, the love in your relationship, as well as the love for chocolate. It just fits so well together. So sometimes people, you know, depending on where Valentine's falls, sometimes people really like making that weekend as their Valentine's celebration as well. So,
and do you have, what is the history of the Festival of Beer? What was the genesis for that one?
We were looking, part of it was the beer and how it ties so closely with the state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time when we started this, there weren't many festivals like that out there. Now you, it seems like everywhere you turn, somebody's got some sort of food and beverage festival going on. So really, you know, back when we started it, it was cutting edge. And we've just kept it going because people love coming to it so much because it's such a fun event. So,
well, it looks magnificent. Again, for those of you interested, this is next weekend, April 29th through May 1st. You can go to AmericanClubResort.com. They've got the calendar there. And all the different choices that you have, whether it's just to attend the festival or stay for an overnight or the whole weekend. Jenna, I want to thank you so much. And we have to stay in touch. I want to come out for the food and wine experience.
Definitely.
Coming up in the fall.
We'd love to have you up anytime, Patty. And thanks for having me on.
Oh, our pleasure. We'll talk to you again soon. Jenna, she's the Associate Director of Special Events. And one of our new best friends.
Thanks, Patty.
Have a great night. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Let's go! Really? God,
yes.
I don't know why I love this song.
It's so good.
Are you playing it tonight? Because we talked about it last night as a song that we wouldn't want to have played. After we lost?
Yes.
Another one bites dust.
Right. So we left that. We gave a good night space to that. And also because yes. We're about to talk about, I feel like it was sort of a candidate.
I'm so sorry, Craig.
Yeah.
You have received news recently. And I was thinking about this because I am staying in someone's home. I'm staying at Marta Carlo and Yenny Alvarez's home. And they told me to go ahead and eat anything that's in their kitchen. And she has some allergies when it comes to certain types of foods. And I'm eating something called inner peas, which are a delicately crunchy baked green pea snack.
Okay.
It's not tasty.
Inner peas?
Green peas. Oh. Yes. Inner peas.
That does
inner
not sound peas. Like a good name.
So wait, are they baked?
Fried?
Yeah. Or are they just in a bag?
They're just, I think they're whole green peas with vegetable oil. I think that they were like dehydrated.
They're dehydrated.
Like their
peas?
Essence of, yeah.
Oh God.
Because have you ever had a fresh pea?
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely had a fresh pea.
There's something about them. They're like they're nutty and taste delicious.
Wow.
I know. I'm just that going. I'm going all in. I jumped into that pool head first.
She made a pool joke.
With a fresh pea.
Yeah.
Right, right.
But no, have you ever had fresh peas?
It's, the they're vegetable. Just crispy and crunchy, right?
Well, no, I mean, depends on how you make them or whatever. But there's like this nice nutty taste. They don't taste, the frozen ones, no, they don't even compare.
No. Yeah, but these are baked. These are baked green peas, but they are like just, yeah, they're hollow shells of green peas.
What's on them?
Nothing. There's
don't
not
tell
like,
us.
A, yeah, I think
no,
maybe
I
a little
even,
bit of salt.
It's not going to be.
Salt.
I mean, have you ever had wasabi peas?
Oh, that's better.
Those are tasty.
Better. I'm trying to find food for you, Craig, because you've received some devastating news.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I've received some terrible news. I mean, I'm not going to die or anything, so it's not. I guess it's not that bad. But I have celiac disease. I don't know if you guys know what that is. It affects 1 in 100 people, which is awesome. And it's actually a thing for anyone that's going to call in and say that I'm being an idiot about it. I can't eat gluten. I'm not going on a gluten-free diet. I don't dislike gluten. I love it. I can no longer consume gluten because apparently my small intestines kill themselves when gluten is inside them.
So wait, why wouldn't you go on a gluten-free
diet? I am going.
Oh, okay.
I am. I have officially gone on.
No, you said that.
I was like,
no. But I'm not. What I wanted to say and what I feel like I have to explain at every restaurant, everywhere I go moving forward, is I'm not just on a gluten-free diet for like kicks and giggles. I'm on it because I have to be.
Right.
I've never thought to say kicks and giggles. I always say it the wrong way.
Yeah, you can't say it that way. Yeah. Not on the radio.
You're already preemptively explaining yourself.
I know, I know. It's like when I explain being a Yankee fan, actually, to anyone in Chicago. This is what I've already been connecting it to. When someone finds out I'm a Yankee fan, I always say I didn't know what a payroll was when I was 5. I now have to say that I do not go on a gluten-free diet just on a whim.
Well, no, you have to. Right. Well, you're going to have to preface it with you have celiacs.
I do.
Because people who are just like, yeah, I'm on a gluten-free diet.
Right.
And it's like, why? because, just cause.
You know.
It's like, no.
Right. I don't want to be on a trendy diet.
You have a medical issue.
Yeah. Apparently. And I've been dealing with it for the last few years, and like I didn't know what it was, and then my doctor did like a blood test, and he goes, "Yeah, you have this thing."
But it's good that you found out.
I get, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're not in pain all the time.
I mean, in the last 2 days, I didn't eat anything with gluten, and I was feeling great. And then today, I came downtown to pick up my Cubs tickets, and I had to go to Jersey Mike's because I love that place. And then when I walked in the door, I realized that I'm not allowed to eat that, and so I said this was a goodbye meal.
Although, did they have gluten-free bread?
I did not even ask. I just had the regular gluten bread.
You're going to have to start doing that.
I went to the Cubs game, and I had a beer. That was my last beer of my life, maybe. I'm gonna.
No, there's gluten-free beers.
There are gluten-free beers. Yes. Steve wanted me to let you know, and we should start inviting any of our brewery friends who are making gluten-free beers. I think that's our next round of the weekend wind-up.
Yeah.
We will find you the best gluten-free beers.
There's so many regular beers. There's so many good ones.
Say goodbye. Say bye-bye. Just wait. Just put your hand up. And
cider.
Just wave.
Cider is also gluten-free.
Can I have like a weekend where I just binge as many beers? Can I just do that? I know Steve King from the 815. I know that Steve King also has it. I'm now the same as Steve. Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Are you wondering whether or not he had a goodbye weekend to his?
I am curious. I will
have
to ask him. Maybe we should get them on and see if he did a big, giant weekend of horrible things, gluten related.
I don't see him doing a big, giant weekend of horrible things.
No,
do you?
He doesn't seem like the kind of guy. But I really do want to say goodbye with like a whirlwind tour. I feel like I should go to Vegas for it, but I just really want to like go to Subway.
I think you just gotta just rip the bandage off and just stop.
Okay.
I don't know if that's not the right comparison.
That's what my wife seems to think, is that I should just immediately listen to my doctor.
Yeah, no, you should do that. Doctors kind of went to school and stuff.
Do you know how much stuff gluten is in?
Yeah, sorry, buddy, but that's it.
It's in Patty, you just said everything. Everything is gluten.
John Panette, the very good friend of mine who died several years ago, not because of the gluten, but he had a lot of different demons. But he said, "I don't know what gluten is, but apparently it's delicious."
I mean, yes, but that's it. But there's so much now. But see, you've realized it in a time when there's so much stuff now that is gluten free that you can. Pretty much.
Consume everything.
Right. There's a substitute
bread.
For it.
Yeah. But it's not the same.
I know it's not the same, but what do you want? Do you want bubbly guts? Or do you want
bubbly guts?
Not be in pain.
My grandfather, to his credit.
Say that all the time to yourself, by the way. Say bubbly guts when you are thinking about eating something.
My grandfather, to his credit, he didn't have celiacs or anything like that. He was just lactose intolerant. But toward the end of his life, he was having kind of some heart conditions, and every doctor told him to give up steak. And he said life without steak wasn't life worth living.
Yeah, but he was older.
Yeah, but it's, I'm one of those.
When you're older.
That's what my grandfather
chose
to do.
Towards the end of life, it's kind of just like, do whatever you want.
Do I just follow in his footsteps, though, and ignore all the medical advice given to me?
I mean, do you want to die way closer from today than like many, many, many years from now?
From the 815, binge but enjoy the Imodium after. That sounds terrible.
We'll just buy you rolls of toilet paper. Like I don't know.
No! Let's not talk about that.
I'm saying, man.
This was totally a celiac only conversation. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to bring it to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. But again, it's kind of related, isn't it? A little bit.
Esmeralda with her
doesn't
fresh
it, though?
Pee.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
By the way, Esmeralda, I am looking. Is tonight the night you guys do? Would Esmeralda buy that? Is that tonight?
Or
is that?
No, I just saw that, and I was like, I would not buy that.
You wouldn't buy the tortilla curd?
I posted a thing. No, because that's insanity. It's not that hard to make a tortilla. Come on,
but can
folks.
You make a gluten-free tortilla? See what I did there?
Probably, because you can get gluten-free masa now, I'm sure.
Right? Okay. Craig's, these are things that Betty has to take into consideration for you.
There's gluten-free cookies, too, which thank
is
God.
Is there gluten? I mean, I'm assuming there's gluten in corn.
I don't think there's any gluten in corn. Corn
well,
tortillas
then you can
are totally
corn
okay.
Tortillas,
yeah, they're
then
fine.
You're fine.
There you go. And cornmeal pizza crust, I believe.
Cauliflower?
Let's not talk about pizza.
Cauliflower, pizza. A cauliflower crust.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. That sounds horrible. No, that's a thing.
That sounds awful.
No, I just made, you know what I did? I made cauliflower kind of they were like latkes, like potato pancakes, but I just made them all with cauliflower. I baked them in the oven. They were pretty good.
Patty, I think we need to take a break.
Mm-hmm. Let's all contemplate Esmeralda's cauliflower. Did you say cauliflower crust?
Yeah, they make cauliflower crust for pizzas and stuff like that.
You're gonna have to convince us. Not right now. Not during the break. There's not enough time.
No, I can't. Soon, yeah. I don't have an oven here.
All right. Let's take a break anyway. More after this on 720 WGN.